Okay, I forgot to turn on the recorder for the Visual Basic class. So I am paying the price now, and I am going to look at the SmartBoard notes and go through and record what I think happened in class. Okay, so the first thing is we were going to look back at a few things under VB.net. And VB.net is an older generation than the ones that I have, that we've been looking at. And so there are going to be a few problems. And frequently it will tell you that it needs to upgrade. And go ahead and let it upgrade. And then it will give you a report that you can just click on and make go away. Okay, so the first thing is if you go to my week 5, there is something called loops combo etc.zip. Because I pulled out the ones that I really wanted to look at so that you could go in and get them more easily than tracking them down under programs vb.net. So go and unzip that. And what you're going to be looking at is the folder called vbnet CIS56, and then loops, and then it will bring up muffins. Muffins is what we want to look at. So go ahead and do that, and this is the muffins program. Okay, so the first thing is that I made a checkbox list, okay? And so rather than just a list, this is a checkbox list, and I am putting in 5 different kinds of muffins. Okay, now I need to put the muffins into this program before I can run. I chose to do it on a load. So you can see the form muffins checkbox list _ load. And in it I have the CLB muffins, which is the name of the list box, of the checklist box list. And I am adding to the items in that list. And so I'm doing this during load, which means that it will be done just once when the program is loaded, and it will be available throughout. Okay, so if you look at the buttons I have here and the other things, I have a text box for quantity. And as I explained in the last time we looked at muffins, I was being lazy, and so you can't buy 2 of one and 3 of another. You have to buy the same number of everything. So I put in quantity of 3. If you have got a dozen, you can click the box that says discount for dozen. Okay, then the buttons I have are to calculate, and that would be calculate a particular order. Summary, which would be to summarize what you've sold that day or that hour or whatever it is that you want to do. Clear, to clear it away, and exit, obviously. So, if you look down, you'll see that I have come in and I've set up a loop, and it's a 4 next loop. Now, if you remember correctly, count gives you numbers. If I count something and there are 5 things, I get a 5. But when I use an index, I want to start with 0. So if there's 5 things, I want to do 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4 as my indexes. So what I did here is I have a for loop, and I set up count. And I said for count equals 0, because I'm going to use count as an index, 2, and then I counted the number of items in the box. And there are 5. But I want to go 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 as my index. So I subtract 1 from the 5, and I have a for loop that says for count equals 0 to 4. Okay, inside that loop, I'm checking to see if the box was checked. So I'm saying if cblmuffins.getItemChecked, modified by count. So the first time count is 0, and it's going to look to see if the first one is checked. Okay, so it is saying again, if cblmuffins.getItemChecked, modified by the index count, equals true. So is it checked? No, in my example, it's not. So then the if statement doesn't get executed. It loops back up to the count, to the four, and count is now one. One isn't checked either, so it loops back. Two isn't checked, so it loops back. Finally, three is checked. So since three is checked, it says, okay, take the quantity, which was three, multiply it by 95 cents, add that to what is in work amount owed, and then put the result or assign the result back to work amount owed. Now, work amount owed was defined at the top as a global variable because I'm going to use it more than once. So I am taking and doing the calculation, adding it to work amount O, and then storing it in work amount O by using the assign sign. Work amount O started out at zero. Since this is the first order of the day, it's going to be zero. I mean, the first one that's checked, sorry. Since it's the first one that's checked, it's going to be zero. So I've said, take three, multiply it by 95, add it to zero, and put it into work amount owed, which is now going to be basically 3 times 95, or 380. No, that's not right, right? Okay, then I check, and the fourth one is also checked. So I multiply 95, add that to what's already in work amount owed, and put it back into work amount owed. So I end up with $5.70. The two muffins that I bought, and I bought three of each of them, so I end up with $5.70. Now, the next thing then, after the end of that loop, checks to see if the radio button is for a dozen is checked. Okay. If it is, then it multiplies by the discount, C discount. C discount is defined in this module as 0.9, so I basically would get a deal. It's not checked, so I don't do anything there. Then I go down and say, okay, I now know what the work amount owed is. Is that greater than the highest sale? Well, the highest sale for today is zero because I haven't sold anything before this. So it would take and put work amount O into work highest sale. Okay, if the work amount owed is greater than the work highest sales, then it puts it in. So it makes the work highest sales have the new higher number. If work amount O is not greater, then it doesn't change work highest sale. It leaves it as to what it already was. Then it converts work amount O to currency and puts it in the text box. Adds the work amount O to the work total and adds one to the customer count. Because in order to calculate the average, I need to know the total of all of the sales that I made and how many orders or customers there were so that I can do that divide. Okay, I'm going to move on to the third. And in the third, I pointed out that I could have used a collection to put the data into the box. I didn't, but I could have. And in later examples that we're going to look at today, we're going to see one where I did indeed use the collection. Collection, by the way, is in properties under items. So items and then collection. Okay, so we got into a discussion of this difference between count, which tells me there are five things in the box, and index, which says cornmeal is zero, bran is one, boppy seed is two, blueberry is three, cranberry is four. So I went back and I said, okay, I'm going to put in a message box here, and it's going to be cblmuffins.items.count. So I'm counting how many muffins are there. And when I run the program, you see the five that comes up that tells me that it's five muffins. So that's why I had to subtract 1 from it to get 4, so that my index could go from 0 to 4. Okay. And on the next slide, I basically showed the 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 indexes down the side. And I am pointing at the 2 muffins that were checked. And so when I go through the loop, we'll come out owed first, we'll have $1.90. And then it will have another $1.90 to make $3.80. Okay. Because I had 2 things checked, and apparently on this one I said the quantity was 2. I have made it a message, or a comment rather, that message box showing the count I made into a comment on this one as well. Okay, so on this one, the work highest sale started out and is $3.80. And so I put that into $3.80. I put work amount owed into work highest sale, and it is $3.80. If the next sale is bigger than $3.80, then it will change. If it's not, it will stay $3.80. And then over on the side, I showed adding work amount owed to work total and assigning the answer back to work total, and adding 1 to work custom account and assigning that back to work custom account. Okay. Now I am putting in 3 muffins and I wanted 4 of each, so that comes up to 1026. So at this point I have got 1026. And when I do the highest comparison, clearly the 1026 is going to be higher than the 380 that was there before, so I have changed work highest sale. And I'm adding the amount of the sale to work total, and I'm adding 1 to customer. Okay. Okay. At some point here, I messed up in doing the calculations, because I was going back and forth between clicking to take pictures and clicking to run, and so I'm going to come out with a bad total. But then we redid it and came out with a good total. What I want to comment on here is this is the 3rd one, and the $1.90 is not greater than the $10.26 that was in there before. So the 1026 stays in work highest sale. And I add to the totals. And as I said, I have messed up in my comments there. Okay, so I'm now getting up to 1596 because I had forgotten to add the 380 from the first one. And that will give me an average of 532 when I do the average, because 1596 divided by 3 is 532, and that is the correct average, even though we're going to see the wrong average first. And there is the wrong average. And as I said, I have no idea what I clicked on, but I did. Highest sale is correct because it has the 1026. And when I was calculating the average, I would have done total or work total divided by work custom account, and it should have worked just fine if I hadn't clicked on something wrong at some point. On, I think, 2 more slides, you see the right answer. Okay, so now the next thing is, if you look down, you can see there's a clear, and pretty soon we're going to see the next thing, which is the summary. Okay, so here is the summary. Now what I do in the summary, and you're going to have to scroll down to see the whole thing. It is all there, but you'll have to scroll down to see it. If somebody pushed the summary button, the first thing I did is I said, okay, take work as highest sale and format that as currency. Then I said, take work new line and make that character 10. Which is basically going to allow me to move down to the next line. And then just to show some things, I put in some message boxes to show what work total was and work custom account. And if you notice up at the top of the page, as I was processing, I kept showing what they were also. And I was doing this to debug because, as I said, I had the wrong answer. And so I wanted to see and follow what I did and make sure it wasn't something in the program and make sure it was basically that I clicked the wrong thing at some point. So I am showing work total and work custom account. And then I said, okay, now, if work custom account is greater than zero, because I've now, remember, hit the summary button, which says I want to summarize. Well, if work custom account is zero, then I don't have anything to summarize. So I'm checking, is work custom account equal greater than zero? If it is, I do the calculation of the average, and then I format it and store it in a field that I called format work average. Then I set up the message that I'm going to write. And I have the literal highest sale concatenated with the formatted version of highest sale, concatenated with the work new line, which moves me down a line, concatenated with average sale, and concatenated with format work average. Okay. Notice the underscore after the ampersand. That's because I'm continuing on to the next line. In writing this, not in output, but in writing this in the code, I'm using three lines. So now I have work message box, and so I say, okay, here's a message box, and it is going to contain work message box. The message box style is going to be okay only, and it's going to have a title of summary. Now, notice I'm using message box here. In later programs that we've been looking at, we use messagebox.show, which is the more up-to-date version of doing it. But when I wrote this, I was using message box, and you could set a variety of styles. You could have OK only, you could have OK cancel, all of those kinds of things. The else goes with my original question of what custom account is greater than zero, and if it is, I processed. If not, I'm putting out no data to summarize. And basically, that's the end of the summary. Moving on to the next slide. This one finally shows the right average. And I went through, and it shows the correct average. I also want to point out one thing in the clear. Notice I have a check D index in there that's got a curly brace underneath it. That curly brace means that that field is not being used. Everything runs just fine, but it's not being used. I also want you to notice the for loop there, which basically unchecks. So I said for count equals 0 to 4, I want to set item check state of count to unchecked. So I'm unchecking the boxes when I do the clear. Okay, the other fields I'm just doing a clear on. This one I'm unchecking the boxes. So, now we're going to move on to the next one, which is called faculty. And it is called faculty courses, I believe. No, faculty course setup. It's called faculty course setup. And so I am looking at this, and I can see that, again, I have some boxes that I am going to be filling. These are combo boxes. And I have two of them. I have one up at the top that is going to hold the seasons, spring, summer, and fall. And I have one further down, which is going to hold courses that the faculty is going to be teaching. If you look at the load, you can see that I am taking the top one, which I call CBO semester, and I'm doing an item add of spring, summer, and fall. And then I move to CBO courses, which is the one that will contain the list of courses, and I do an item add, and I add 5 courses. As you can see, if you look at the image here, add course is faint. And that means it is not available. So I am enabling it now. I'm not enabled it now. I'm setting that enable to false, which is what makes it have that gray color. Up at the top, when I actually select something, I will set it to enabled equals true, and then I can continue to use it. Okay, so I've got a couple of other buttons here that I am going to click. I have the form load. I have the add button. Once it's been enabled, then I can say list courses, which is the third box up here, which is list courses. I want to add items to it. Okay, so I'm taking the cbocourses.txt that was selected, and I'm adding it in there. The CBO semester selected index change is when I pick spring, summer, or fall, I've got an index change going on. And so it will write out on the line in the bottom box, courses for the, pick the semester that I clicked, concatenate that with the word semester. And then it will add quote, quote, which writes a blank line. And now it is setting the add button to true. So when the add button is clicked, it will take the course I've selected from the middle box and will add that to the list in the bottom box. Okay. Button clear will clear things off. And I am clearing out the semester box and the courses box by taking the selected index and setting it to -1, which means it's outside the range that I can use. Okay. So, now I am showing you the box. And this is a drop-down style box right here. The one that has the little arrow on it is a drop-down style box. And it is set to drop-down. And if you look at the next one, you will see the top box is drop-down style set to simple. So those are my two boxes that I set up. Now, if I run this, as soon as I click spring, then that basically caused it to write courses for the spring semester. And we saw that back when we were looking at the code a minute ago. And now I can go and click on the arrow and bring something down and choose courses. Well, I chose 3 courses, and the last one that I chose was CIS 44. And that got written in here, okay? So that each one gets item added to this particular box. Okay. Now, I'm not seeing anything I'm doing there, so I'm going to move on to the next one. Okay, the next one is again showing the courses that I am choosing and showing that when the selected index changes on the semester, we will be writing out courses for the spring semester if I chose spring, or courses for the summer semester if I chose summer. And this basically is just showing some code that has been revised because now I am looking at the second version of this, which I believe is called Faculty Courses. In this one, I am not putting in a load that is putting the courses into the box. All I'm doing is enabling the add button in the load. If I look at the next slide, I will see how I get the data in there. And I get it in by using items collection. So items collection, I bring that up and I write the courses that I want. This is items select collection associated with the combo box. I bring up the collection and I write all the courses I want. So this is an alternate way of getting this list of courses into the combo box. And I do the same thing for the semester. I have the fall, spring, and summer listed as the collection for the items in this combo box, which is called CBO Semester. The other one was CBO Course or Courses. Courses. The third way that you can do it is in the third one, which is Faculty Course User Entry. This is for taking in user entry. And there are times when you want to do this because whatever is happening is changing every time you run the program or every couple of times you run the program. But let's say every time you run the program, it's changing. And since it's changing, then you want to let the user enter the things in. I used an example in class of the price of gold. At one point, the price of gold was fluctuating like crazy. And every time a jewelry company wanted to run a program, they wanted to enter the new price of gold for the different categories that they had. And so they would want to have user entry come in and put in today's price as opposed to having it fixed in there. Okay, so I've got two loops going on here. First of all, I do the style on each of the loops of an initializing entry. So I put up an input box and I take in the user's initial semester input. And then I put out on that input box, enter done when finished. Okay, so that's the initializing one. And then I go into the loop and I say do while user entry is not equal to done. And so as long as they didn't place done, I am going to take what they entered in to the input box, which is called user entry, and I'm going to add that to the CBO semester combo box. And then I'm putting up another input box to ask them to do a second semester. And they put it in, and they loop back up to the do while, and it's not done, and so they keep going through this until finally they enter done. Then when they loop up to the do while, it will say user entry is done, and so it will drop through to the next thing. I like this style because what I can do is I have the input box as the last thing in the loop, which means as soon as I get the user entry, I go back to the do loop and check it. Well, I can only do that if I have the initializing input box in front of the loop so that I have something to work with when I first enter the loop. The alternate to doing this is to have one user entry input box, but have it the first thing in the loop. The problem with that is if somebody enters done, then what do I do? And basically what I have to do is come up with an if statement to say, well, if they enter done, don't actually do the processing. And to me, that's just sloppy. Then I do an exact same kind of loop, but this time I'm going to be putting it into CBO courses as opposed to CBO semester, so I am putting all of those in. Notice the clear is, again, setting it back to negative 1. And I forgot to mention that on the previous example, we used a reset instead of setting it back to number 1, and that would be on slide 20. We used a dot reset text, and I forgot to mention that. Okay, so now everything else is pretty much the same, and I'm all set. So I've now got three different options for taking in the data. I can do it in the load and have it hard-coded in the program. I can do a collection, or I can do user entry. Okay, that finishes up the ones I wanted to look in VB.net. What I want to do now is go back to the current set of programs and look at the program called Basic Loops. And that basically just shows you a bunch of different kinds of loops. And the thing I wanted to emphasize is I've got a do while with the condition at the top, and I've got a do while with the condition at the bottom. I've got a do until with the condition at the top, and I've got a do until with the condition at the bottom. And then I have actually a for loop at the bottom that's not visible right now. So essentially, I've got a variety of ways of asking the question. Again, if I don't ask the question at the top, I will always do the loop once. If I ask the question at the top, it will check to see if I should do it. And notice the difference between the while and the until. The while says, do while word count is less than or equal to whatever. And the until says, do until word count is greater than the whatever. So if the while, I'm saying I want to keep doing it while the number is less than 10, let's say. And with the other one, I'm saying I want to do until the number is greater than 10. Sorry, I should have said less than or equal to with the while. So, those are the different kinds of loops. Take a quick look at those. And the bottom one, as I said, is a for loop. And it says for 1 to 4, but those could be obviously replaced with variable names. Okay, that's it. Bye-bye.